Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to honor the Lord. Looking at the message you preached last week, those who were here, you will remember that we spoke about certain things that pertain to honoring the Lord. And we saw there this man, Gideon, giving honor to the Lord by bringing an offering before the Lord. That is what we saw last week. Today, we are going to see something very interesting as well. It's still along that line of honoring the Lord as well. But then when I looked at the message next week, it's about offering now. Not our money, but it's talking about Gideon offering to the Lord and going to destroy the temple that was built in their place where they were living and erecting the temple of God. And that is the Sunday before Good Friday. And that is what happened when Jesus Christ came and died on the day that we celebrate on Good Friday, where everything else was taken out. And the temple to serve the living God was set up. And the Bible says Jesus Christ went and he offered his offering in heaven, in the tabernacle that is in heaven. Now we understand that the Bible says when God gave the instructions to Moses, he told him to build the tabernacle exactly as it was shown to him. So that tabernacle of worshiping God on earth and how people worshiped the Lord, or that service was supposed to cease then. Because now the offering, the great offering, was given before God. So now I'm just talking about this because I'm saying, if you look at when the Lord said to us, go to Gideon, go through the book of Gideon, I could not tell that this is how it's going to pan out. And we had no clue that it's going to really speak to what is going to happen on the Good Friday when we celebrate the death of our Lord, and on Sunday when we celebrate his resurrection. So now I want to say that God orders our steps. Now my wife stands up here today. She talks about remembering what the Lord did for us. This ministry starting a year ago. It's exactly what I'm talking about. And she did not know what I'm talking about. I'm just saying these things, but at times, as you follow the Lord and as it guides you, at times you may not know that you will find yourself being exactly where he wants you to be, doing exactly that which God wants you to do. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. All the time, just follow the peace in your heart. As you follow the peace in your heart, you will end up where you are supposed to be. Don't worry. You will be where you're supposed to be. It may seem as if you're not where you're supposed to be, but because you're following God, God Almighty will see to it that you are in the right place. You listen to the testimony that was given by Zanel. The Lord led her steps. Now, have faith then, as you always follow them. Just take a step. At times it may seem dark. It may look as if it's, you know what, this is just not what I expected. It's not happening as I expected it to happen. Don't be discouraged. God has given you a promise. Because God has given you a promise, stand on that promise. God uses his promises to get us where he wants us to be. If we do not give up, God will show himself faithful. The title of our message is Arise and Shine, Part 4. You will remember that the Lord gave us the word for 2016, which is Arise and Shine. And he gave us Isaiah chapter 60 verses 1 to 5. And after that, the Lord brought us back to this word. And he started showing us now how to arise. And that is what we are working on right now. The question that people may ask is, how do I arise? And what did the Lord say to us? He said, go and look at Gideon. And that's what we are doing right now. We are looking at how did Gideon arise. The first thing that we saw is that before you start any mission, make sure that you have heard from the Lord. This is how you and I will arise. Before you start any mission, if you believe God has led you to do something, ask Him for a confirmation. God will confirm the word that He has given to you. Be sure before you move. Don't just move. There are so many people that have made mistakes in their lives, and lives have been destroyed because they thought they heard from the Lord. And the fact of the matter is, they did not hear from the Lord. So make sure that you've heard from the Lord. The second thing was show honor to God. When you do, you are showing that you recognize Him as Almighty, and that becomes your declaration of faith in Him. We said, let us live our lives in honor to God. Coming back to praise Him and thank Him and say, thank you, Father, for what you have done for me. Doing things to His honor, serving Him. We said, as you honor the Lord, you are declaring that you believe in Him. You trust Him. The fact that you came to church today is a sign that you believe in God, and you are declaring in the heavens that I believe in God, I trust in God, and therefore I am going to honor Him. I'm going to the house of the Lord to sit in His house, praise and worship Him, and listen to His word. When you sit down to have your meal, taking your time to thank the Lord for the meal that He has blessed you with, you are honoring the Lord. This is what we are seeing in the life of Gideon. He honored the Lord. And this is what the Lord is teaching us. He says we must arise, and He's showing us how to arise. He says, now honor me. That was the second thing. Now today, we are going to look at the third thing that is giving to us. As He says to us, let us arise. Now we will find this when we read the book of Judges, chapter 6. We'll read three verses. Verse 22. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, O sovereign Lord, I am doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Now, you will recall last week, we talked about Gideon when the angel of the Lord came to him and said, you mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. He said, prove it to me that really it's the Lord that is speaking to me and He really is with me. Wait here. Let me go and prepare an offering and bring that offering before you. And when you receive it, I will know for a fact that you are definitely from the Lord. The Lord is speaking to me. So then what he did, he went, he prepared that. And when he brought the offering, the Bible says he put it over a stone and fire came out of the stone and it consumed the offering. And after that offering was consumed by that fire, then the angel of the Lord disappeared. And this is where we are now. When he saw the angel of the Lord disappearing, he says, oh, sovereign Lord, I am doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. That's the problem as well that people led lived under the old covenant hand. Seeing the Lord meant problems for them. It meant they were going to die. You go and you read the accounts of the people that the Lord appeared to. They said, oh, I've seen the Lord. Oh, the angel of the Lord. They expected what? To die because of the punishment that they had seen before. The people under the old covenant served God under fear. They were afraid. If they didn't do what was expected of them, they were going to be punished. And if they would come into the presence of God, be in His presence could even kill them. That is how they lived. They saw when they got close to Mount Sinai, God said, don't even touch the mountain, because whoever that touches the mountain, or even an animal that touches the mountain, I will kill that animal. So they would come with trembling and fear in their hearts. It's totally different for us. The Bible says, come with boldness. That is different to how they serve God. So in other words, if it was you and I that saw the angel of the Lord, we would celebrate. We would not think that we are going to die. Think about Peter. The Bible tells us that when Jesus first came and he borrowed his boat and he used it to minister, then later the Lord said, throw your nets in the sea. And when they throw the nets in the sea, the Bible says they caught so much fish. Peter, when he saw that, he knelt down and he hid himself. He said, get away from me, Lord, because I am a sinful man. That time he was still under the old covenant. And the Bible says something. It says, when Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, and when he appeared to them, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5, the Bible says Jesus appeared first to Peter and then to his disciples. This time that he appears to them, it's a different account now. It was the third appearance of the Lord to his disciples. The Bible says when they were busy trying to fish and they were catching nothing, Jesus came and said, children, have you caught anything? And they said, nothing. And he gave them instruction as well, where to throw the net. And when they caught so much fish, and then John the Baptist said, that's the Lord. The Bible tells us that Peter put on his gown, and he jumped into the water, and he ran to Jesus. This is after the resurrection of Christ. The same Peter that said before, get away from me, I'm a sinful man. Now this time Peter had more sin because he denied Jesus Christ three times before the cock crowed. Think about that. This is the time when he was supposed to run away. But the Lord had restored him back. And now he is no longer afraid. This is how we should approach God. Forget about your sins. Think about Peter. He forgot about his sins. Forget about your sins. Forget about anything that you have done. The Lord willing, another day, we'll go through 1 John chapter 2, I think from verses 19 to 23, where it talks about we need to assure our hearts that even if our hearts condemn us, we must know that God knows all things. God knows that we are holy. He knows that we are acceptable. So we can refuse to take the message of our hearts that are condemning us. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, our evil conscience must be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. So what does that say to you? Your conscience may be telling you that you have sinned. But know that the blood of Jesus Christ has taken care of your sins. What am I trying to say? Come before God with boldness. Don't come before God trembling and counting your sins. He does not account those sins to you. They are not yours anymore. So don't be like Gideon, thinking that you will die, because you will not die. But now, look at the story today. Verse 23, it is all right, the Lord replied. Do not be afraid, you will not die. So he expected to die. The Lord says, don't worry, you will not die. Now look at this man's reaction. Verse 24, and Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. The altar remains in Ophrah in the land of the clan of Abiezer to this day. This is this man's reaction to what the Lord did for him. What did he do? The Lord appears to him and he does not die as he expected. Then he decides to have an altar. Now, what was the altar for? An altar in scripture indicates approach to God or communion with him. Every time when you see a person erecting an altar, it meant the person had an encounter with God. Or God did something significant for them. And they always wanted to remember what the Lord did for them. So the altar was often the place of sacrifice, which pointed to the great sacrifice of Christ. All the sacrifices that were done in the old covenant, they were pointing towards the great sacrifice of Christ. So the sacrifice of Christ was the last sacrifice. Hence, we no longer sacrifice. The only sacrifice that we give now is a sacrifice of praise. We don't have to kill animals anymore to sacrifice, to appease our God. Not at all. Jesus Christ met that standard for us. We are acceptable before Him now. So every time the patriarchs and Israel had a significant encounter with God, they built an altar. You'll remember Noah. The Bible says when the rain had stopped and the ground was now dry, they came out of the ark that they had built. The Bible says he offered a sacrifice before God. And when he offered that sacrifice before God, the Bible says God received that sweet smell that came from there. And God said, I will never again destroy the earth and animals through flood. Look at God's response to a sacrifice of praise unto the Lord. That covenant that God made there, it was completely unconditional. Because he did not say, if you do anything else. He just said, it's my decision that I will never again destroy mankind or animals or the land by flood again. And he said, I'm going to give you a rainbow that is going to speak peace over you. He created an altar. When you look at Abraham, the Bible tells us about several altars that Abraham erected to honor the Lord. We look at Isaac as well. He did exactly the same thing. You go down to Jacob as well. Jacob met with the Lord when he was running away from his brother. And the Lord promised that I'm going to bring you back to your father's land safely. And then what did he do? He erected an altar. There is something about every time when God does something for you, that God says, I want you to erect what? An altar. There is a reason. God does not want you and I to forget anything that He has done for us. An altar was not always used for sacrifice. We have in Genesis chapter 12 where we see Abraham going to three towns here and he erected altars before the Lord. But the Bible does not talk about him sacrificing anything at that time, but he just built an altar to commune with God. God came and gave him a word whenever he went to those places. And then to remember the word that he received from the Lord, he erected what? An altar. The Bible says things that happened to these guys were meant for our examples as well. The altar was a constant reminder of what God did for them. God used feasts to give Israel time to remember what he did for them. We've got different feasts in the Bible. But all the time, God wanted them to remember what God did for them. But right now, we're going to celebrate Good Friday. They've got a feast that goes along with that one. God wanted them to remember what? Him delivering them from Egypt. So he said, you will have this feast every year. You do not skip this day. God wants you and I to remember everything that he has done for us. Every time when people remember what God did in the past, their faith is strengthened and they see the manifestation of the power of God. Because you remember what the Lord did for you. You remember the power of God. And you say, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he could do it then, he can still do it again today. So then your faith is strengthened. So if you want to strengthen your faith, what should you do? Just remember what the Lord. If you can have a list of the things that God has done for you. Now, just go through that list and start remembering what the Lord has done for you. And as you do that, you will see when you're done with that list, you will feel like you can conquer the world. You'll feel like God will answer you. Build an altar. Build an altar. Build an altar. That's what the Lord is saying. He says this year he wants us to arise. He wants us to shine. Now he's telling us how we can do that. He says build an altar for me. Remember what I've done for you. Keep in memory. And you will see your faith. You will see. You will grow. Praise the Lord. Jesus left us with a command to partake in the Holy Communion in remembrance of him. Remember that. We said this is the ultimate sacrifice that happened. Now when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, from verse 23 actually to verse 26, Paul is giving an account of what happened with Jesus on the last day before he was sacrificed. He talks about Jesus Christ taking what? Bread and breaking it. And he says, every time when you break this bread, remember that this is my body that was broken for you. God has something about us remembering what he's doing for us. And he says, every time you take this cup, remember that it's a new covenant. Why does he want us to remember it's a new covenant? Because we have lived in the old covenant. And we may always be drawn back to live like the old covenant. We now live in the new covenant. So every time when you take the blood of Jesus Christ, know that it's a new covenant. Then in verse 26, it talks about the fact that as often as you do this, you are declaring my death. What is God saying to us? He wants us to, as often as possible, to declare his death. Why should we continually declare his death? Because as we do that, our faith grows. We understand what he did for us. And we can receive what he has provided for us. Build an altar. So have the Holy Communion even on your own. Don't wait to have it here on Sundays when we meet. Don't wait. Every time, take time on your own. Take the elements that you have and use them to declare the death of your Savior. Hallelujah. You don't need a minister to facilitate this for you. You are a priest yourself. Royal priesthood. You belong to royal priesthood. So you don't need anybody to minister these things for you. You have the same right as they have before God. Praise the Lord. We can expect the manifestation of the power of God as we fix our minds on what Jesus did for us, as we partake in the Holy Communion. Everything, all those promises, as we fix our minds, think about what God has provided for us. I can tell you that we'll see the manifestation. So spend time meditating on this great sacrifice. So just like Israel honored feast days, let's honor days like Christmas. The Bible says when Jesus Christ was born, the angels came and proclaimed peace to all men. If Jesus was never born, we would not have peace with God. So you must remember that day, celebrate that day. Was Jesus born on the 25th of December? Probably no. Do you care about that? I don't care. He's not fixed on a particular day. He's fixed on, the big thing is about remembering the event. How did it come that we started celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ on the 25th? Does it matter? If we had the exact day, we will probably do it on that day. We don't know the exact date, so we will then celebrate the birth of the Lord and use that day to declare the birth of our Lord. We declare that to the whole world. The whole world becomes aware and remembers that Jesus Christ was born on this particular day. And if we then, on that particular day, we decide that we are not going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, some people may misinterpret that as well. We may say we don't want to celebrate his birthday on that day, because it's not the day that he was born, because it's the day that the heathens were worshiping. We know the story. That's fine. But just remember, have then a day when you celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. If it's not the Christmas day, whatever day that you found in the calendar is the right day. On that day, just remember the birth of Jesus Christ. That's all that we are asking of you. You are honoring God when you do that. Good Fridays. You must be in church on Good Friday. Mzalwane. Honor the Lord. Build an altar. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Resurrection Day on Sunday, that Sunday, you must be in church. Is it going to give you any point? No. God is not marking you, giving you points for doing all these things. These things are helping your faith to be strong, because your faith works through hope. Your hope gets touched when you remember these things, and you are hopeful. You remember what the Lord has done for you. When were you born again? Do you remember? Some of us don't. But celebrate. Find out. You may not know exactly the date, but just remember, try and look back. I did the same as well. I felt so bad when Abazalane talked about remembering the days when they were born again. I could not remember for a long time until I went back and I sat and I thought, I remembered when I said, Lord, forgive me all of my sins. I received Jesus Christ. It was the New Year's Eve of 1988. It was my resolution, New Year's resolution, 1988. It was before you were born, sis. You see, I'm telling you, remember those things. Celebrate those things. You must remember every day that the Lord did something significant for you, or the Lord said something to you. Remember those days. Remember those days. You know, we use the same thing in our marriages. The day that we got married, what do? We celebrate. We remember our spouse's birthdays. We use those times to do what? To celebrate their birth every year. It means something. So partake in those things. Those things help you. Do you get the message? Because I'm done now. This is the message today. Just build an altar. And every time when you pass by there, then that altar will remind you, this is what the Lord has done for me. In our houses, at times we even have pictures that remind us of things, events. You know what? It's good to do all those things. Build an altar to praise the Lord. So if you want to stay full of God, you must always remember what he has done for you and give him praise. Where do you see this? You find this in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 to 24. Let's read. Verse 19. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities. The Bible is saying we can all know that there is a God. Even the people that claim that there is no God, when they just look around, look at the sky, you see what is happening. It's obvious these things didn't just happen. But then it says people decide not to believe. Let's continue. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. There is nobody that has an excuse for not knowing God. Now you may say, but King Shaka lived before Christ was preached to him. The Bible says God will use their conscience. People that lived outside that time, God is not going to subject them to that. Verse 21. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. So people knew God. They wouldn't worship him. They wouldn't even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. They didn't want to worship him. They didn't want to give him thanks. And then the result is what? Progressively, then they began to think up foolish ideas. That is what people do. They explain things. They say why the earth is like this. And they take God out of the picture. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Why did their minds become dark and confused? Because they refused to worship God. They refused to give him thanks. Verse 22, they were claiming to be wise. They instead became utter fools. Verse 23, and instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshipped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. That's what people do. Just because they refuse to worship God and thank him. Verse 24, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. Can you see now? When people get stuck on doing things that are not right, where does it start from? They stop worshiping God and thanking God. So build an altar for God. Have reminders. Things that will remind you what the Lord has done for you. And I can guarantee you, you will stay full of God. Okay, let me start again. Verse 24. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. You continue the story, you know the story, what happens after that. So what people are doing today, people, they are getting worse and worse. It comes from people not honoring, not building what? An altar for God, worshiping him and thanking him. That's the story. So in conclusion, Bazalwane, this is the story. Always remember what the Lord has done for you, and your faith in him will stay strong. Always. Just a scripture to read for you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, reading from the New Living Translation. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. That is what God is saying to us today. Let us always be thankful. Let us always remember what he has done for us. Today, when you partake of the Holy Communion, understand the purpose. It is not just an exercise that we do. And it's not one of those things that we use to waste time with on Sundays. No. We are declaring the death of our Savior and Lord. And as we are declaring the death of our Savior and Lord, our faith in what he did for us becomes stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. So keep on partaking of the Holy Communion and understand what God has done for you and receive your freedom. Receive your freedom. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Jesus Christ, when he came, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are bruised. And verse 19, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So you take that verse. That's what Jesus Christ came to provide for you. So when you partake of the Holy Communion today, know that your deliverance is complete there. complete. So if you have anything that you want to be set free from, or you're expecting any manifestation from the Lord, take that scripture and say, in Jesus' name, it is done. It's a done deal. I may not have seen it as yet. It may not have appeared as yet. But the fact of the matter is, in Christ, it was done. It was completed. So I know it will happen. That is how we need to receive our Holy Communion every day. Now I'm going to pray, and then we are going to partake together. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are so grateful today for this wonderful word that you've shared with us. Father, we are so grateful. Your word tells us in Psalm 107, verse 20, you send forth your word and you heal us, and you deliver us from all our distractions. Father, we receive that the way that you've shared with us today, that it brings healing in our lives. Father, we receive that this word brings deliverance to us. It sets us free from all our distractions. And Lord, now as we partake of the Holy Communion, in the name of Jesus Christ, we declare the death of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And we declare that our freedom has come. Our deliverance has come. We are free in Jesus' name. And we will not settle for less, for we know that there is more that is found in you. So, Father, we receive your fullness as we partake of the Holy Communion. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.